Alaska did see a big jump in the exports of Canadian copper ore through Skagway.
Skagway plays a part in the state's jump in exports. The Haines Assembly will take up the issue of filling assembly vacancies. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Governor Sean Parnell announced earlier this month that Alaska's exports for 2011 reached an all-time high of $5.2 billion. And while seafood remains the state's largest export, another category made a big increase last year. Canadian copper ore shipped from the port of Skagway.
Alaska did see a big jump in the exports of Canadian copper ore through Skagway. It had to do with the production levels at the mining operations in Yukon.
That's Patricia Eckert, Associate Director for International Trade with the Governor's Office. She said the value of ore exported out of Skagway increased by more than 400% between 2010 and 2011. That means of the state's $1.8 billion mineral ore exports, Canadian copper ore comprised more than $142 million of that amount, all shipped out of Skagway. While the ore is not mined in Alaska, because it is shipped out of Skagway, it still counts toward the state's exports.
The U.S. Census Bureau tracks the value of exports out of the United States by state, and we're happy to report that the copper ore exports that go through the Skagway ore terminal are counted as an Alaska export.
Mines in the Yukon have been increasing mineral exploration and production in the last year, and Skagway remains the closest port to many of the operations for shipping. The majority of mineral exports, including the Canadian ore, are exported to China. The Haynesboro Assembly is meeting Tuesday night for a regular meeting. On the agenda is a first hearing for two ordinances. The first is to revise procedures for plats. It would require a complete preliminary plat be submitted to the Planning Commission for review and approval before any construction begins. The second ordinance would remove the Department of Economic Development from the borough government. If passed, the ordinances will have a second hearing at the May 8th meeting. Two new ordinances to be introduced include setting hearings for the borough budget and possible changes to how a vacancy on the assembly is filled. Borough code states the assembly should fill a vacancy within 30 days. But last year that became an issue when no one interested in filling the vacancy could secure the required 4 votes from the assembly. Without taking action, the seat sat vacant until fall elections. The move prompted a recall effort by some citizens against 2 assembly members. The ordinance being introduced Tuesday would change code to require only a simple majority, or 3 votes of the assembly, to fill the vacancy. However, some, including Mayor Stephanie Scott, have said requiring a special election to fill vacancies on the assembly would be preferable. The assembly may also move to show support for studying the Walker Lake Hydroelectric Project. Southern Energy Incorporated has applied for a preliminary permit to study the feasibility of the Walker Lake Project. The company, in its permit application to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, said the project would build 2 rock-filled dams at the lake that lies about 8 miles southwest of Klukwan and drains into the Little Salmon River. Public comment period on the preliminary permit expires May 15th. The suggested motion on the agenda for the assembly is to support the project, but with an expectation Southern Energy will study impacts of fish habitat and the possible effects to Hellisking Snowcat commercial operations in the area. In his report, Borough Manager Mark Ernest is expected to announce that the borough has found a way to continue with the 4th of July fireworks display. The annual event was in limbo recently when the Haines Chamber of Commerce notified the borough that it no longer would provide insurance coverage for the event. Chamber President Ned Rosbicki said the group felt it was underinsured for the fireworks show and an incident could jeopardize the organization. He suggested the borough provide the insurance coverage. The assembly at its March meeting voted not to take on the insurance liability. But under a new arrangement, the borough will pay $8,300 for wildfire pyrotechnics and fire arts with Grizz to conduct the fireworks display, with insurance coverage included. That is about double what the display normally costs the borough, but Tourism Director Tanya Carlson, who has been working as a liaison between the borough and the chamber on the issue, said donations are being sought to offset the costs. The Assembly meets Tuesday night at 6:30 in Assembly Chambers. The Assembly will also be having a Committee of the Whole meeting beginning at 4:30 in Assembly Chambers to discuss the budget. The public is also welcome at that meeting. Reports of a local pilot flying low over the Haines Highway earlier this month prompted Alaska State Troopers to file a report with the Federal Aviation Administration. Trooper Josh Bent said he received reports of a plane twice swooping low over the road at 33 Mile on the morning of April 7th. Bent said he went to the Haines Airport where he met a Super Cub landing and matching the description of the reported plane. The pilot admitted to the trooper he made the low passes. Bent said people at 33 Mile reported the plane passed within 10 feet of the road surface. FAA regulations require a plane flying in a sparsely populated area remain at least 500 feet above any people, structures, or vehicles. The FAA said Monday investigators were conducting an informal review at this point, but that a formal review wasn't yet being ruled out. Skagway is getting ready for about 60,000 more cruise passengers this summer than last year. That means close to 800,000 visitors will arrive by ship to the gateway to the Klondike. But the increase in passengers is because of an increase in ship capacity, not an increase in the number of dockings, said Skagway Tourism Director Carlin Buckwheat Donahue.
We have, this summer, there will be 355 ships making Skagway a port of call. And in 2007, which was our peak year for the number of ships, we had 480 ships coming in. And so right now we are very close to the same capacities that we had back in 07 and 08 with over 100 fewer ships.
Tourist spending in Skagway also provides increased summer revenue to Haines. Donahue said about 3.5% of Skagway cruise visitors purchase a Haines tour. As for independent travelers, Donahue said the number of those visitors will likely remain about the same as last year. Non-cruise ship visitors make up 16% of Skagway's tourists now that cruise lines bring in the bulk of summer visitors.
I mean, just 30 years ago, 60% of all of our traffic was rubber tire traffic / independents. And now, 84% of all of our visitation is from cruise ships.
Many non-cruise visitors come from the Yukon, and Donahue said Skagway has been marketing to, among others, the mining industry there.
Yeah, the Yukoners have always been a pretty big part of our economy. And when new mines open up and things like that, because they use Skagway as their exporting point, they send representatives down to Skagway, and we meet with them, and we give them, you know, all of our flyers and our brochures and stuff like that.
Visitors this summer will find two new restaurants to try in Skagway. Donahue said a 4th Avenue eatery will feature Hawaiian and Japanese cuisine and shaved ice, and a soup and sandwich restaurant is opening near the post office. The new businesses will likely be fodder for a Northwest food critic expected this summer, Donahue said.
So we have a food critic coming up from the West Coast this year to rate all of our restaurants and things like that. So that's going to be interesting to see what he and his partner have to say about Skagway cuisine.
The first cruise ship of the season docks in Skagway on May 4th. This is Margaret Friedenauer for KHNS News. Thanks for listening.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Some fish bills swim while others flounder. A look at legislative outcomes after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by the At Sea Processors Association. Learn more at ATSEA.org.
Fish Radio is also brought to you by the Renewable Resources Coalition. RenewableResourcesCoalition.org. Most attention by Alaska lawmakers was focused on oil and gas issues during the session that ended last week. But some notable fish measures were passed or not. United Fishermen of Alaska has a breakdown of them all. Those passing include bills that will increase state permit loan limits to $200,000. Budget increases include $9 million in general funds for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute as a match to industry contributions, a $60,000 increase for Alaska Marine Safety Education Association trainings, and $450,000 for fish and game subsistence research. Ocean acidification research at the State University received $2.7 million. Most of Alaska's hatcheries got budget chunks for upgrades and equipment, totaling $13.5 million. Harbors also fared well with $17 million in capital funding and $23 million for harbor municipal grants. Bills that did not make it through the session include labeling of farmed fish and genetically modified fish, prohibiting growing or cultivating genetically modified fish, a crew data and statistics program, and reclaiming state coastal management. That measure will go to voters this fall. Also not passed by Alaska lawmakers this year, an act calling for legislative approval before any permits are given for a large-scale metallic sulfide mine that could affect waters of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Reserve. That measure died in the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Find the complete list of fish bills at United Fishermen of Alaska's website and find a link at Fish Radio on Facebook. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.